Hey, I'm Paul Douglas Boyer. Coming up on The Mad Money Machine, show number 2. Would you have made money buying Cramer's November stocks? You bet you would, and I'll show you how much. And we'll take another spin at Guru Roulette. This week's tool from the crib is like panning for gold. And we'll go pumping for profits and complete our portfolio for 2006. All that and more on The Mad Money Machine. Hello and welcome. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer, and this is your Mad Money Machine. First of all, I just want to say thank you for listening to the first show. It was an overwhelming response, and I'm amazed at the reception this show has gotten in its first week. Folks, we've broken into the top 10 in the iTunes business category. A true tribute to the intelligence of podcast listeners and Cramericans everywhere. We've got a lot to get to and very little time to do it. We've got a lot of time, actually, but I'm not going to spend that much time, so let's get started. First, one disclaimer. This show does not provide any investment advice whatsoever. I'm just telling you what other people have said. Do your own homework before spending any money. The Money Thoughts segment. Let's start 2006 out on the right foot. Have you ever heard that saying, start out on the right foot? Well, I heard it about 25 years ago, and I took it literally. It has become a superstition for me. Every morning, I always put my right shoe on first, and I'm scared to death to ever break that superstition and start out on my left foot. It is a completely irrational superstition, but I will not break it. What about when it comes to stocks? Are we superstitious there, too? October phobia, Santa Claus rally, January effect, Super Bowl effect, technical analysis, moving averages, investor sentiment, market psychology, contrarians, cycle theorists, Dow theory. I think these have become superstitions in the stock market. You know, but actually, if enough people believe it, it tends to happen. Self-fulfilling prophecy? Take last summer. The papers were saying that September and October were usually the worst months in the market. I suppose enough people read that article and decided not to buy stocks in those months, keeping prices depressed. In fact, that happened this year, 2005. Then the Santa Claus rally started early this year, just like the Christmas decorations in the mall, as people started buying stocks again the day after Halloween. So what's next? December tax loss sell-off, and then the January effect. This is when investors sell their losses before the end of the year, making prices on losers even lower. And then, after the turn of the year, people buying the stocks back, especially stocks in the smaller companies, making the stock prices in those go up in January. The thing about these superstitions or self-fulfilling prophecies is that people then begin to anticipate them, and the markets start to adjust for them even earlier. On the first show, I mentioned how the baby boomers would retire and need to sell their stocks. Well, let me just say something about that right now. This will not be your father's retirement. This is the information age, people. The industrial age is gone, and so is its retirement philosophy. We're solidly into a services and information society, and with it comes new retirement mindset. Work no longer means, for most of us, using muscle to perform a task. It's all brain power. And the good Lord willing, our brains will function well past the 23,741st day of our life. That's our 65th birthday. And perhaps our brains will function well on into our 32,872nd day of our life. That's our 90th year. Bottom line, we don't have to quit our jobs, sit home and watch podcasts all day long. We can do work and get paid for it. Here's your solution to the age wave, Jeremy Siegel. Keep working. I just mentioned tax loss selling. Hey, you got to get in on it. take a look at your taxable investment accounts. Is there anything you bought this year, 2005, that is in negative territory? Perhaps you bought some oil stocks at their peaks in September. If you're in the red in an investment, consider selling it before 4 o'clock on Friday, December 30th. You might be able to apply the tax loss to matching taxable gains you had in the year. I am not a tax advisor. In fact, the thing I probably hate the most is taxes, paying them, and doing them. But I understand the strategy behind tax loss selling and recommend you look into it for your portfolio. You can buy the stock back on February 1st if you really like it that much. Also, before year end, take a look at gifting stock to your favorite charity. Makes a wonderful way to contribute and avoid paying the capital gains tax. It's time now for Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel, roll the marble, and whichever guru is selected, I'll tell you a little bit about their investment philosophy and try to choose a stock that matches it. So here we go. Joel Greenblatt is the winner this time on the Mad Money Machine. Joel Greenblatt is the founder and managing partner of Gotham Capital, a private investment partnership that, can you believe this, has achieved 40% annualized returns since its inception in 1985. 20 years of 40% returns is incredible. He is the author of two books, 1999's You Can Be a Stock Market Genius, and 2006's The Little Book That Beats the Market. This little book that beats the market is one that I recommend that you take a look at. It's about a $20 book for very small, 100 and some pages, small size. But if a $20 book can make you $1,000, it's probably worth it. He has a website that goes with the book. The website is called MagicFormulaInvesting.com. The whole idea behind the Magic Formula is that you want to buy companies that have a high return on capital and a high earnings yield. So this website allows you to pick companies by size and limit the number of companies that come back from the Magic Formula, 25, 50, or 100. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the screen for the top 25 companies with a minimum market cap of $50 million. And from that list of 25, I'm going to just pull out five names for you to consider that match this magic formula. The first one is American Eagle Outfitters, symbol AEOS, the casual clothing maker. Second one is Forward Industries, symbol FORD, and they make cases for handheld electronic devices. Third one is H&R Block, talking about taxes. Well, they're the tax preparer. Number four, Jax Pacific, symbol JAKK, the toy maker. By the way, H&R Block, HRB is their symbol. Jax Pacific, the toy maker, and Reynolds American, RAI, the cigarette maker. So there you have it, the second guru on the Mad Money Machine, Joel Greenblatt. Do take a look at that book, The Little Book That Beats the Market. You can see a link to that on the madmoneymachine.com website. Now we'll go into the Mad Money Roundup. We're going to look at Jim Cramer's picks since about November 4th. And what I've done is pulled out from his featured stocks, pulled out some that from my notes, and I've taken a look at their performance since the time that he has selected them on his show until the closing price on Friday, December the 23rd. Of 2005. First of all, I want to talk about the Mad Money Challenge that just ended. If you're not familiar, he had a website called the Mad Money Challenge where you could enter the stocks that you wanted to pick with a pretend $100,000 and try to make as money as you could in about a 13-week period. Greg from Boston was the winner. He took his $100,000 up to $250,890. And he was able to speak with Kramer on the show. He said the key to winning a competition like that is to not be diversified. He said it will not win this type of short-term challenge. So what he wanted was concentrated positions with stocks that have catalysts. And his first pick, he said, was Anadigix, with symbol ANAD. I looked at the chart. It went from $3.25 in September-October timeframe to about $5.5-$6 in mid to late November. So Greg caught a double there, and that's what you've got to do to win a game like this. One thing I want to say before I get into Jim's actual featured picks that I'm going to look at this time, you need to find a stock charting site on the internet somewhere that shows you the after hours trading, and you'll really see how Kramer moves a market. In fact, you can see that some of these stocks that he picks at 6 o'clock or 5 minutes after 6 o'clock in after hours trading, they immediately jump 2.5, 3, 4, 5% on his recommendation. So I'm going to talk about the opening price the next day compared to the closing price on December 23rd. And to see, this is more closer to your actual performance that you would be able to get by buying the stocks the next day. The first one, on November 4th, he talked about QDEL, Quidel Corporation. They make the flu diagnostic. And bird flu being a hot topic, he was very excited about a corporation that makes this flu diagnostic. As an example, its close that day was $11.91. It opened the next day at $12.90. In December 23rd, however, it was down to $9.87, and that's a 24% drop from the next day's opening price. Now, if it is still as good a company as it was on November 4th to Jim, perhaps this could be a stock that's really on sale. Also on November 4th, P-Wave, P-W-A-V, it was up that day that he mentioned it, but it gapped up the next day. It's been basically trading at the same level ever since. So if you're looking for a Kramer play that hasn't moved recently, here is one. Also on November 4th, Zumiez, Z-U-M-Z. This is a regional to national retailer play. You remember when he wore the snowboarder helmet? It closed at 35 that day, he mentioned it. It opened the next morning, 37.4, and by December 23rd, it was at 41.33, a 10% gain on his recommendation. November 8th, he mentioned Charles and Colvard, the maker of Moissanite. That stock has taken a pretty nasty spill. It opened the next day at 32.45. On December 23rd, unfortunately, it was down to 22.95. And that's a little bit more than a 29% drop. On November 8th, he recommended Birch Mountain Resources. It opened the next day at $6.85. December 23rd was $7.50. That's a 9.5% gain. November 9th, iRobot. It opened at $33.75. December 23rd, it was $31.75, a 6% drop for iRobot. ING. Kramer called it the Google of banks. It normally trades about 500,000 shares a day. The next day, it traded 2.8 million shares. It opened at $31.79. On December 23rd, it closed at $35.24. That's a 10.8% gain for ING. Procter & Gamble, symbol PG. He said do a mom back below 54. It never went that low. It traded around 56 the next day. On December 23rd, it was 58.88. That's about a 5% gain in just 28 trading days. AMD. He had a segment talking about the $100 laptop and how AMD could help make chips for it. It opened the next day at $25.87, closed December 23rd at $30.50. That's up 17.9% for AMD. Georgia Gulf Corporation on November 16th, he recommended that. He said the trade is done. Don't buy Georgia Gulf Corporation. The next day, it opened at $25.87. The December 23rd close was $30.60, a gain of 18%. On November 16th, Airgas, he recommended that. It opened at $30.49. December 23rd, it closed at $33.24, a 9% gain on Airgas. More recently, WebSense, the software that lets your employer block access to email. The next day, it opened at $65.65, and that was the day's high. But on December 23rd, it closed at $67.95, a respectable 3.5% gain. Also, recently, 29 November, VeriSign, it opened at $22.11, reached a high of $23.71 on December 13th, but it has been declining ever since and is now back to about where it was at $22.06, just a 0.3% loss. Another one, on December 7th, Cramer called a recent bottom in Google. He said to buy it right there. Then on December 21st, he declared victory and said to kind of hold off on Google for a while. And he's been exactly right on that so far. And the final one is Under Armour, the sports apparel manufacturer. He mentioned this one again on December 19th. He said that it would jump in 9 days when the dealers who bought the stock were allowed to come in and come out and recommend it. It opened the next day at $27.73. On the 23rd, it was $31.22. It was 8% gain just that day. Overall, a 12.5% gain for Under Armour. So, he's had some real misses, but oh my gosh, the winners have been fantastic. Bottom line, it looks like it is definitely worth paying attention to the stocks he features on his show. It's time now for Pumping for Profits. We're going to take a look again at the 2006 portfolio of Jim Cramer's hottest stocks. Okay, well, Jim says it's buy and homework, not buy and hold. So you will find that I haven't even held the stocks from last week's 2006 portfolio. A lot of changes are happening in the 2006 portfolio, and they may still change slightly before the upcoming last trade of the year. So let me go recap through the top 10 discretionary stock portfolio picks of Jim Cramer's stocks. His first category is a company you know, and I'm going to pick a company Cramer knows, and that is Votorantim Cellulose. He talked about the Brazilian paper company that has large growth, and the fact they've got the whole rainforest to chop down into paper products. He says it's a broken stock, not a broken company. We'll do 10% into VCP. Oil company, Englobal. It's a little-known company that does refinery maintenance. He said there'll be lots of refinery maintenance needed now that the refineries need to operate at 104%. Number three is a brand name blue chip. We're going to stick with Altria here. And on the chance that they may be broken up, also the Marlboro Man is now in China. The financial, I'm going to go back to just one in the category, and we're going to pick Bank Colombia. CIB is the symbol. It's an oldie but a goodie from Cramer's picks. And we're going to just try to ride the momentum on this one and watch for a downturn on it, though. Number five is the speculative stock. We're going to go with Cynosure, symbol CYNO. He says it's the newest, hottest, laser company and the best of breed. Number six, a secular or soft goods company, Sara Lee. Its spinoff of its apparel and other non-food and beverage items will make it a pure play. Number seven, a cyclical stock. Cummins International was his pick of the week. Symbol CMI, by the way, Sara Lee, SLE. Cummins is the best exporter of American stuff next to Boeing, exporting to all the BRIC companies, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. Number eight, Seagate Technology, STX. The hard drive maker is smoking. Number nine, a retailer, GameStop. Sticking with that one, GME. 2006 will be the year of the video game. And finally, a non-tech hope. Well, in this category, I'm going to plop Talisman Energy, TLM. He says that it is the mutual fund anointed stock of 2006. I will post these on the website, and we're going to take a look then at the closing prices of these on December 30th, and then follow these throughout the year, maybe do a little bit more selling, do a little bit more buying, and try to adjust as Cramer tells us what to hold and what to do homework on. Now it's time for Tools in the Crib. This week, I select for you a special tool similar to the screener that we use from the Magic Formula Investing. This is a much more rich, much richer screener tool. A stock screener is a tool that you can enter a number of criteria that you want to find companies that match that criteria. And the best one out there is the one from MSN. And you can find a link to it on my website under the Tools tab. The MSN stock screener gives you a number of ways to find companies that match criteria that you like. And then once you have matched those criteria, they will come up in the bottom area of the window and let you sort them in different orders, add to the criteria, few more details about the stocks. It is simply just the best stock screener tool out there for you. I recommend that you have a look at that. Also, I think it only runs in Internet Explorer, so you'll need to bring that up in Internet Explorer to be able to take a look at it. But do take a look at that. The Mad Money Machine does have a pretty broad audience, ranging from Cramer himself all the way down to little kids. So I want to put some stuff in for those who are new to stocks and investing. I'll place this beginner-level material at the end of each show so that the experts can either grab a kid or a newbie and listen to it, or just skip to the next show on their iPod. So, experts, that's it for you. Please subscribe to the podcast feed to get another review of Jim Cramer's Mad Money, another spin at Guru Roulette, and we'll look and see how well our portfolio for 2006 is starting off the new year. Don't forget to read the website at madmoneymachine.com, and please send your questions, comments, complaints, and criticisms to feedback@madmoneymachine.com. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying, it takes money to make money, and it takes stock to make a mad money machine. For those of you still with me, welcome, beginners and kids. On the previous show, I said that owning a share of stock is like owning a part of a company. Well, how much money does a share of stock cost? Have you ever been to or seen an auction?
Would you bid $27 to buy? $27 and bid now E, $29, $29 and bid now $30, $30 now A, $30 now $1, $31 and a half, $2.
Buyers are competing against each other to buy an item for sale. If there's only one item and lots of buyers, the price of that item sells for the highest that anyone will pay. But what about if there's lots of items and only one buyer? Then the price the item sells for is the lowest that anyone will sell it for. Imagine an auction for the rare Luke Skywalker lightsaber. There's only one of those, but lots of Star Wars fans out there. In fact, according to CNN, last August, the lightsaber used by Mark Hamill in the first Star Wars movie sold at an auction in Beverly Hills for $200,600. There must have been lots of buyers with lots of money. Now think about the toy lightsabers sold on the auction site eBay. A recent search for lightsaber turned up 333 hits on eBay. But there apparently weren't as many buyers out there for the toy lightsabers, because I saw one that sold for 99 cents plus $5 shipping. The prices of stocks are basically set the same way. If there are more buyers than sellers, the price that the stock trades for tends to go up. If there are more sellers than buyers, then the price of the stock tends to go down. What we'd like to do is, when we buy stocks, we want to show up at the auction when there aren't a whole lot of other buyers. Then when we sell stocks, we want to be there when there aren't a whole lot of other sellers. That's how you make a mad money machine. We're going to shut down this mad money machine for now. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying, see you next time on the Mad Money Machine. You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. All music played on this program was made possible by music.podshow.com. The Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, Street.com, Real Money, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on the show. Although the information discussed on the program is believed to be reliable, Mr. Boyer and the producers of the program do not make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness, nor do they assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profitability of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by Mr. Boyer and any of his guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.